it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
We've crossed over into the second half of the show here on 102.5 The Game, ESPN Radio Nashville. Darren Donick and Chase here with you from our separate homes. And a little bit later, we'll have our weekly visit with Chris Mason. That'll be coming up at 1. We have mixed some really good interviews today that Chase and Ryan did or earlier in the day with Matt Duchesne. We had a chance to catch up with Craig Smith last hour. Some really good players' perspective on all that's going on. Plus, big NFL news with Rob Gronkowski being traded to the Tampa Bay Bucks. So a very interesting scenario developing down in Tampa with Brady and Gronkowski being reunited.
And it feels so good. And by the way, I saw this nugget from Adam Schefter just a few minutes ago saying that Sean Payton is basically, he's told his players they will not have an off-season program. They're not going to do the digital thing. They just won't have one. So the next time the Saints are basically going to all be together will be training camp if that all goes as scheduled.
Yeah, I think that's becoming a big reality going along the lines of what we said. We know that's not going to happen. I was listening to the Bengals coach, and his name is slipping my mind. Zach
Ellis?
Taylor?
Taylor.
What's his name?
Zach Taylor.
Zach Taylor, yeah.
Is that right?
Just talking about the idea, and you know, he didn't say it, but you can tell. They're going to take Joe Burrow. Everybody knows that. But the idea of having a first-year player jump right in there without an off-season program, that's creates challenges for sure. And I wonder if that will affect their decision of when they actually put him in there to play. When the time comes that you're playing games and you haven't had the normal set of circumstances to get acclimated to the pro game. I think that's something to think about for sure.
Yeah, and you bring up the draft. I'll just promote this. Tomorrow at 9 on the Rundown, Ryan, Marquise, Jared, and yours truly, we're going to do the mock draft. We're going to do the first 32 picks of the draft, so that should be a lot of fun. The draft order has been determined, and so looking forward to that. But whoever picks first, well, I guess they'll have an easy job. At least I would think they would. But tune in tomorrow at 9 for that. So should be interesting. And then our coverage from ESPN Radio will start at 6 o'clock tomorrow night.
So we get closer to the draft, and we've got some information coming your way at 12:45 today. We're going to have Anna Isaacson on. She is the senior vice president for, and I want to make sure I get this right. I have it in front of me. I thought I had it in front of me. Senior vice president. Oh, where is it? Social responsibility. From the NFL office. There's a draft-a-thon that they're going to be
I was trying to help you and have myself muted, Willie. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But they're going to try to do some good things while the draft is going on. We're going to tell you how that works at 12:45 today with the ability to donate to the causes that can help while we take in this draft. But it is going to be really interesting watching – Chase, for example, this morning on Get Up, they could not get Roger Goodell to have his studio working, so he had to come on the phone. They couldn't get his kit to work, which I wonder what the thoughts are from the producers of that show, who also are producing or involved in ESPN's telecast. You know, what kind of nightmares they're having run through their mind. You were talking about this the other day. You can have it all tested. It all seems great. He's in Bronxville, New York. He's excited about the draft coming up, but you do wonder what glitches are ahead. I think we're just going to have to understand that is going to be part of the fun, so to speak, is it's going to happen, right? You can't have hundreds of people in different spots or dozens of people at the very least and not expect to have some breakdowns here.
Yeah, I mean, look, we've been doing this for a month, and I've had no issues, and then today – I had to reset my router, and I got kicked off. I mean, that stuff can happen. You know, you're relying on everybody's home internet connection, and I'm sure they have backups in place that they've installed. But there are going to be issues, And it's just how big are those issues going to be? What are those issues going to be? And will the backup plans that they have in place be able to work? So that's just and that's a part of the intrigue for me. I mean, I'm going to watch anyway because it's the draft. And, you know, I want to see if the Titans, in fact, pick at 29 or do they trade out? But another part of the intrigue is going to be, you know, the cluster that's going to be doing this all virtually. You know, is something going to break? So that's one reason why I'm going to be paying attention amongst the other things that you would normally watch for the draft.
Here's another story that has come up that I thought was completely out of left field. But on a week like this, even though it's the draft, it's still kind of slow and it's going to get some attention. But Percy Harvin telling ESPN that he wants to return to football. He has not played since 2016. He's battled numerous injuries throughout his career, migraines. He is ready to return to the NFL. He's ready, and he's now 32. So
Gronk
is the
inspired
NFL
him.
Ready? Who's ready for him? That's the question.
I forgot all about Percy Harvin, as I think
I
most
hadn't thought
of,
about him in a long time.
Most of the league has probably forgotten about Percy Harvin.
Yeah, he surged in August.
Yeah, do you think he gets a call? I don't.
I don't think so.
No.
Oh, I mean, who you could invite somebody to a camp, I guess.
Sure.
Right? Somebody might invite him. But what a long shot. It'd be a heck of a story if he could come back and play.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely would. So something to monitor.
He was a pretty special player, right, when he was right?
Yeah. He was, and I mean, we all know what he did in college. And but I feel like the league now has passed him by. He's 32 years old. What was his issue with there was headaches?
Yeah, a lot of headaches.
Yeah.
But you know, hip problem. His playing time was limited in 2016 because of migraine headaches. But he never officially filed for retirement. But he had a host of other injuries as well. Right. That's
Yeah,
but this is interesting,
I just,
too. He underwent hip surgery in August in Gainesville. Doctors found a blockage. She said may have been there since high school. It may have been a turning point for Harvin, who over the summer had to lay on the floor to get comfortable and couldn't get up and down stairs without using the handrail. Mm. Very interesting.
Yeah, so a situation to monitor for sure. Willie,
I just wonder, which team will it be that gives him a chance, a tryout?
Yeah, I mean, if it's one at all.
I mean, as we know, it's not like you can bring him in, you know, over the next few weeks and he can, you know, work out at OTAs or, you know, you can't do workouts
right
now. So he's in trouble there.
And there are so many talented receivers in this draft. I mean, that's another thing, too. So if you're a team and you know that you're going to be able to potentially fill a need at receiver through the draft and then the undrafted guys – I feel like Percy Harvin would probably just be on the outside looking in, but I could be wrong. I mean, we've seen it before, but it's been so long since he's played, and then the injuries in which he had. I don't know if I see a team taking a shot on him.
All right, so do we have Adam on the hall? I think we got Adam who wants to weigh in on the show. Adam, welcome to the show. You're on 102.5 The Game.
Hey, man. So I'm sitting here listening to y'all, and I'm a biggest sports nerd of anybody. Like, I call y'all five times a week. You know, that's a minimum. And so I want it back, man. And I'm actually kind of excited about the thought of having all these sports pile up in the fall. Like, maybe it'll happen and you guys will just be so overwhelmed and never get days off because you have to cover all this crap, you know. And so I'm looking forward to that. But I wouldn't read too much into old Dutchy, man, and what he was saying, the word if. Like, I was thinking that's the biggest thing in my marriage that gets me in trouble is that I'll say something and my wife will go, what do you mean by that? And then I'll just stumble and not know what I actually meant. But I think everybody's just kind of bored and we look too hard into what people are saying these days. But I don't think anybody has answers, man. So I still hold out hope that we'll get to finish this year and you know, have a hockey season, kind of pour into a hockey season. I think that'd be cool.
So you're still optimistic?
I'm optimistic. Yeah, I'm very optimistic. It's like I said, man, any sports is good sports right now. So I'd watch ping pong tournaments right now if it was on, honestly.
Hey, we could arrange that.
It's a ping pong. That could be deemed a sport that is safe, right? Socially distanced.
Yeah. How about beer pong or cornhole? Get that
does
going.
Does the beer, if the ping pong ball goes in the beer, does that sterilize, or, you know, does that sanitize the ping pong ball?
I'm going to go with yes.
It's alcohol. Yeah. Sure.
I'm going to go with yes.
Good, clean ping pong ball.
Yeah.
Cornhole would be fun.
Cornhole, definitely. That's a good safe distance. Sure.
I could use some practice.
You know what is happening, guys, that's really out of my world? You know, and listen, when I was younger, I certainly went through phases where I played a lot of video games. We never had it in our house growing up, but I went to friends' houses and played a lot. When I was a minor league baseball player, that might have been my peak at how much I played some of these video games. But the gaming thing
surprises me a little bit to know this
definitely, but the gaming thing has really taken off, right? That's what you can do, and you got all these simulated games going on, you know, playoff series happening, but also like individual athletes going head to head, and then, you know, some of the best gamers, right? You can have these things from your home. You can conduct all kinds of stuff. I wonder what we'll see with that over the next few months.
Well, I sent you guys yesterday the prototype race car, you know, that has the game logo on it and everything that I'm going to be using on iRacing.
I said it to Larry McReynolds yesterday. I never thought in my lifetime I would be watching iRacing. Last night I was watching the MLS is doing soccer. I don't know what they're calling it, but they were playing virtual soccer.
Is it on FIFA?
What is it?
Probably on FIFA. That's the video game.
But that's not.
Isn't that like two?
Simulation, right? There's two things, right? A simulated game that you watch that a computer is running based on.
These were two players against each other.
These are two players. Okay, so that's more interesting to me, a computation between two people than a computer simulation of current guys.
Yeah, because you had, right after this happened, you had different players on NBA 2K playing against each other. And ESPN's been showing that. And obviously NASCAR, you know, with what they've done with iRacing, but the NHL and... They've actually had players controlling their teams going head to head.
I noticed you sent us a little snippet of, I don't know, you know, I don't even know if it was about maybe a fourth of a lap, maybe.
Yeah.
I think it was more like 1/50th of a lap. Why was the such a short snippet that you sent us? And was that your best look right there?
No.
Because
I was loose with nobody even around you. Yeah, I was loose. I mean, look, that's how realistic this is. And I made the joke to Larry McReynolds yesterday, like, hey, crew chief, I need some help. Because, it's very, very loose. I'm just getting to the point, and I have not actually entered a race. I've just been turning laps on my own to try and get used to it. That's, you know, I'm just getting to the point where I can complete laps, and my times are going, you know, are getting much better. And I'm able to hold the car together. But if I get close to the wall, I get real loose. And the back end tries to come around. So, no, I was just showing you so you could see what it looked like and see the car. Because you can do your own paint scheme. So I'm running the colors of the radio station. But
I think you should master, Chase, the Nashville Speedway.
Well,
right? That's going to be your home track.
Well,
share what you shared earlier. I think that's a track that you can race on, right?
Yes. They are adding the fairgrounds to iRacing. And that was something that Dale Jr. has been a big proponent of. And they actually go to the tracks and scan the racing surface so it's realistic. But they're putting the fairground speedway on iRacing, which is going to be really cool.
Before I say this, what made me think when I was watching that little snippet of you being very loose with nobody even around you, no cars even around you, on that little, it was about 400 feet that you went in that video.
That was at the Charlotte Motor Speedway.
What I thought of is, so if this is what it looks like, I think that could be a new feature on the show, is if you lose a bet, what happens is you have to do a ride along with Chase. Chase is the driver. You have to do a ride along at the Super Speedway with Chase as the driver. I think that
Darren,
would be
did
a
you
good
ever
punishment.
Did you ever do a ride along with Norm Parton? Or any of the things
Norm
that they offered?
Yeah. Bobby. Yeah. I did with Bobby Jr. Bobby Hamilton Jr.
Did you? Okay.
He
so I did one. I don't remember. I did one at the Nashville Speedway. That's the first time I ever got in a in a race car.
Yeah, it was at the Super Speedway. Bobby Hamilton.
No, I did one at the Nashville Speedway, not at the Super Speedway. A couple years before that.
You were on the short track.
I was on the short track.
Really?
And that thing was,
What year was this?
Well, this was, okay, I can give you the reference point. It's when Tubby Smith was hired by Kentucky. That's the time frame we're talking about. Because I remember we did the show from the Speedway, and I think it was right after that was. So that would have been maybe, 1997? And this was when Norm was determined to have me learn what it was like to be in that car.
Uh-huh.
So I couldn't chicken out, right? I couldn't say no. So I went in there with one of the local professional drivers, and, man, we were scooting in that thing. But, of course, on that short track, I felt like I was going to go out the passenger window every turn. And I felt like we were always turning.
Did this have anything to do with some maybe comments that you had made on the air?
It had everything to do with those comments,
You
kind
of stepped in it with that one, didn't you?
Oh, yes, I did.
Listen, I'm not going to tell you, and I've been in a race car, but not, you know, I mean, we weren't going super fast. But as scared as I probably would be, if there was a driver that would put me in a two-seater and put me right up against the wall, I'd be all for it. Like, I'm here for
Bobby
it.
Hamilton Jr., I knew I was in for, I knew that this, because he looked at me and was like, you better be buckled up and right, everything better be intact.
Bobby Jr. probably put you through it, because Bobby Jr.'s crazy.
Oh, he was smiling. He was laughing. I knew I was in big trouble. Oh, yeah. He tried to make it as hairy of a ride as you can make it without wrecking. There's no doubt about it. And he succeeded. Because I got out and I was ready to get out. When it was over, I was like, get me out of here. I've had enough.
I'm not going to lie to you. There would be nerves. I would be a little nervous and sweating, but I'd climb out of the car and go, let's do it. Can we go again? Let's do it. Because, I mean, I live for this stuff. I love racing. I absolutely love racing. So,
guys, Elliot Freeman, who joins us every Thursday at 1, there is news. Ironically, we were talking about it last hour. It seems like there's some news on the NHL front. We will talk about it on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Our weekly chat with Chris Mason coming up at 1 o'clock today. We'll also talk to somebody with the NFL, National Football League, before we get out of here this hour, about their virtual draft that will take place starting tomorrow night, and all the action from the draft throughout the draft, rounds 1 through 7, all can be heard right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and 94.9. I was just looking at a tweet from Greg Wyshynski. Did you guys see this while we were talking?
Yep.
At the end of last segment, in the last couple of minutes, he said that he has confirmed Elliot Freeman's report that the NHL's neutral site plan for a summer restart is... Of course, this was North Dakota, New Hampshire. That plan is dead. Plan never got out of the concept stage due to lack of accommodations and challenges in staging the and staging and televising the games. So
but I don't see Elliot's tweet. I don't.
I'm with you, Willie. I was looking at that during the break. I couldn't find it either.
That was odd to me.
Yes,
I couldn't find.
I couldn't either.
Confirming Frege's report, I don't see the report.
I went and looked at that during the break, and I could not find the report from Elliot either. So I don't. I'm with you.
But Greg Wyshynski has some detail in his tweet, and said the too much logistics, I guess, is the basic way of saying that the North Dakota, the New Hampshire, the Saskatchewan. Too much to deal with, I guess. But he says the latest push is for the NHL to return to 2 to 4 of its arenas where the COVID-19 outbreak has been managed and restrictions would allow it. Very much targeting completion of the regular season. No timetable. NHLPA needs to sign off on any of it. So still very, very murky.
Yeah, so, I mean, you'd have to, I guess, go through and look at the cities where cases aren't that high. I mean, I would say that, that rules Nashville out, if I had to guess. But
rules Florida out.
Florida.
Although they've been the loosest
yeah, I don't
in
know.
Everything. Yeah, maybe yeah. not Florida. I don't know. New York would be out, clearly.
Right. I wonder if it had, I mean, could it be like a city that's close to an NHL city? Like a let's you like Charlotte, for instance. They play in Raleigh.
Well, that would be a neutral site. So,
so your
neutral
really
site
neutral
plan
sites.
Is dead. Yeah.
Okay. That's an AHL city. But
I don't know. I don't know in the league who's had the
I think the, one of the things that was discussed in these you know, these ideas, the concept of playing in the neutral site, the concern was, you know, do you have the logistics to be able to televise the games, which is the only reason monetarily you would do it, right? Is so you could televise
sure.
it.
Mm-hmm.
So NHL arenas are built for that. You know how to set it up from there. But which NHL cities, that's a good question. You know, in Canada, would there be a city that would have the go-ahead to do it? I don't know. You mentioned some of the U.S. cities, vast differences in sizes and, you know, where they are in the arc of the virus. You know, is there a second wave? A lot of questions. So I don't know. I kind of thought the neutral site had a better chance, in my mind, just because you could go to a place like North Dakota that in theory would be a better environment to minimize the risk.
Yeah, but as we discussed even back then when this report initially came out, is how do they have the accommodations for all of that? I mean, you need hotel space. You need a lot of things to come together in a small market. Can they pull that off? And it's very clear that they couldn't. The accommodations were a big issue, or lack of.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why, I mean, I guess they're going to go with an NHL city. It's just, I'm curious of those cities. I mean, I'm sitting here trying to rack my brain. Okay, probably count out California, just across the board.
Yep.
They're done.
California, New York, two biggest, they're out.
Denver? I mean, What's it like in Colorado? And another thing, how spread out do they want to be? You brought up Canada. You know, Canada's interesting. You know, do you look at, like, Calgary and Edmonton, potentially use those two cities? You know, do you go two in Canada, two in the U.S.? Do you try and go east-west? You know, that's how I was looking at the neutral site as well. You try and do, you know, one on the East Coast, one on the West Coast, but I wonder if they kind of look at it the same way.
I have to believe you would need more than two venues, right? I think at the start, anyway, you would have to have four venues.
At the very least. And then do you open it up
I'm looking at Greg's tweet, two to four venues. Two venues, you would have, in theory, 8 to 12 teams per venue?
Be hard to do.
Be hard to do.
I don't know how that would work.
Yeah. Be hard to do.
I mean, can the ice take that?
Yeah, this does, you know, have you thinking, this is another challenge where it looks like they have really tried to explore all of these things, and they're not getting as far as they want to get in terms of the logistics, right? Logistics are huge here, and that's what the very first day this was floated out to us, right? That's where we were troubleshooting and coming up with a long list of things.
Yeah. He says, Greg Wyshynski, in his tweet, said, talking with an NHL source, he said that he was told that limited fans is probably not a summer game consideration if they were to come back, that the league is looking to restart whenever it can. July probably isn't the target anymore. May or June are, in theory. Once again, if May or June are your target, I mean, give me a break. May is not a target.
Yeah, there's no chance.
There's no chance of that. I would say 5% is the ceiling or less.
playing a game in May, I think, is not a target. I think training in May is maybe something you could do.
Once again, we've just talked about it. Every player that's over in Europe right now has to come back and
quarantine for 2 weeks.
Yeah, they're not going to hit the ice right away. There's a 2 week window right out of the gates. They can't do anything.
We've thrown June 8th out there for, you know, a lot of different sports, whether it's golf or the MLS or something like that. I think right now that could be viewed as a target, but with everything you just laid out, Darren, I still think that that's pushing it.
It does seem like the model, because of the PGA, because of MLS, and even NASCAR. NASCAR is the one pushing it even a little bit more aggressive, that the middle of June seems to be kind of the target for everybody. Still, it is interesting. You don't really hear anything on the Major League Baseball front right now. I really haven't heard much on the NBA front.
No.
So, but it does seem like mid-June seems to be kind of the target. But once again, if that tweet is saying that now they are targeting the completion of the regular season, now you want that. Now you need that. That's going to take 3 weeks to do. Now you're going to add three more weeks to already a playoff that takes 2.5 months. If you're going to complete the regular season, so 3 weeks to complete the regular season, 2.5 months for the playoffs. I just don't know how you make all that work before you're supposed to start up training camp and preseason in September.
How do you
do all that? And where is the draft? And where is the off season with free agency and all? I don't know. That seems like a whole lot to cram in a short amount of time.
And under that scenario, that's if you keep everything just kind of how it is. Like you play the games, you play to 82, and then keep the format the same for the playoffs. You're not adding anything. So who knows? I mean, if they add teams or, you know, don't complete the regular season, what have you, you could change the timing for all of that. So, yeah, I can't see it. I mean, it's just going to be really hard to pull off without affecting next season, which I think they're already going to, no matter what, but affecting it greatly.
I mean, they would have to be doing something in May, something to logistically make this work and to think you're going to start another season on time, because it just doesn't add up. It doesn't compute. So you would think we would need to be getting news here very, very soon as we sit here with a week to go in the month of April. Right, because like I said, right, if you're going to complete the regular season, you need to tack on three more weeks and a playoffs of 2.5 months. Well, you do the math. If they're not out, if they're not already
completing the regular season, to me, just seems completely unrealistic.
Exactly, me too.
In terms of everybody playing, that just looks very, very difficult to pull off at this point. I think holding some sort of 16-team tournament, maybe stretching to 20. That's the only thing you could think about, and maybe even have to shorten some rounds, right, to 3 out of 5 right, instead of 4 out of 7.
Yeah.
Which then again, do you want to? I mean, you bring in the asterisk conversation and all of that. I mean, is that something that the players want to do? I mean, if you want to get it in, you may not have a choice, but
right, the alternative is not doing it. That,
sure.
I think that's why you have to consider some things like that. You know, what kind of window are we talking?
Johnny on Twitter says, and he lives in Canada, I've been following the numbers up here. Alberta is not ready yet. It's not 50% recovered, so he can't imagine Edmonton or Calgary could host.
Yeah. And he didn't mention the city he lives in, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's interesting that, one, we couldn't even find the stuff that Elliot, he said he was confirming Elliot's reports that it was dead. And we can't even find that.
It might have been a TV report. I would imagine Elliot went on TV somewhere,
yeah,
probably in Canada, on a talk show or something, and unveiled this.
Yeah.
We'll ask him tomorrow.
But then Greg Wyshynski putting out, you know, what his NHL source has told him. I mean, it's just love for it to be true, but I just don't know. It just doesn't add up. It doesn't compute. It doesn't make any sense that we're targeting May I mean, May, as we sit here on April 22nd, just seems a little far-fetched. All right, we'll come back. More of Darren, Donnick, and Chase next. Marquise, you sent us something pretty cool during the break. The Titans put out on Instagram. Why don't you tell everybody what it was?
Yeah, so today was the day that Steve McNair got drafted to the Titans. And they put that on Twitter in 1995. So, and they posted a picture of him on draft day. So I thought that was pretty cool.
25 years ago.
It doesn't seem like it's that long ago.
I know.
It really doesn't.
Who won our sport, Nashville sports bracket? Steve McNair was drafted on this day 25 years ago by then Houston Oilers.
And at that time, I don't think we knew. I got to go back and remember this, but I don't think we were in the discussion yet of getting the team. Am I right? Or was it later? Wasn't it later in 95? Or
had
we already had the referendum? When did we have the referendum?
I think it was later. It was in 95. I think it was later in 95. Because they knew starting 1996.
I feel like it was later where we really started having the discussion.
The NFL yes signs. Remember those? The NFL yes.
Was that? I think that was 96.
No, that's true.
Because they played the 96 season in Houston.
But when they started the season, they knew they were gone. Everybody knew they were gone.
Right, but the 95 season, I don't think we were that far along yet. I think it was starting to get rumored and all of that stuff, but I don't think we had the referendum until 96. I have to go. Let's look it up, because I don't remember sitting there watching the draft in 95 going, this guy could end up playing in Nashville. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think we had gotten that far yet on that date. I think it was that preseason where things really started going awry, the preseason of 95.
It seems a bit early, right, to be having those thoughts. I feel like that's...
Yeah. I don't think we knew what was coming yet.
You know what else?
Not on the day of the draft. Later that year, I think.
I know on Mondays...
After the 95 season, Bud Adams announced the move to Tennessee. So
after the 95 season.
Yep.
After the 95 season.
Probably January is when that... What are you reading that? Is that January of 96? Was that December of 95?
It just says after the season.
I think the referendum was in May. May 7, 1996.
Okay. May 7.
May 7th of 1996 is when we had the referendum. So later in 95 is when it all started going poorly. There was a preseason game. Remember, the turf was torn, and that was kind of a turning point. And they canceled a preseason game. Floyd could tell you about that one. That's when we started, I think, really starting to pay attention. There was a lot of rumors. And then somewhere in there, you know, everybody got together here, and there were representatives from the Oilers up here negotiating. And they said, yeah, we'll build a stadium.
95, there was a lot of crazy rumors.
But then there was opposition. It looked like it was done, and then all of a sudden opposition came up, and they forced the referendum in May of 96.
This is what I know is on Mondays. You know what I know today?
What's that?
As we have this discussion, on this date in 1995, just like today, Major League Baseball wasn't playing. They had not started up their season yet.
That's
yeah,
right.
Still the hangover from the fallout from the 94 strike.
Yeah, it was probably about close to a week away from when they started. They started right at, I think, the end of April, the very end. So, yeah, they had not even started their 95 season yet. Like I said, just like today, 25 years later. Tell everybody who we're going to talk to coming up. Before we close up shop in the third hour, Chris Mason will kick off the fourth and final hour. But what are we doing next?
Anna Isaacson is the NFL Senior Vice President of Social Responsibility. We're just going to talk a little bit about what to expect during the draft and some of the things that they have planned while you watch. They have this thing called the NFL's Draft-a-thon, and she's going to tell us about that. It's a way you can help out for the causes during the draft. And we'll also talk about just the challenges and the teamwork that's having to be done, you know, with the league on putting together an event like this. It's never been done before, right? A draft where everybody's in their homes for the most part, doing interviews, televising it, and all that stuff. So we'll have some fun talking to Anna Isaacson in our next segment.
We've all seen by now what John Robinson's home office looks like in preparation for the draft that starts tomorrow. It's pretty crazy. I think those meetings I would have liked to have been in. I've already said today on today's show, there's some meetings I don't think I would have wanted to be in, but I would have liked to have been in some of the meetings that we're going to talk to with our next guest because, man, and I think that's what's part of the intrigue of tomorrow, right? Like, what is this going to look like? How is this actually going to play out? We've never seen this before, and we will do that with Anna Isaacson next. She is the NFL Senior Vice President of Social Responsibility. We will talk to her to close out hour number three of Darren Donick and Chase. That's next. NFL Draft tomorrow night, first round. Man, we remember at this time last year as we were getting ready for the NFL Draft in our city, and little did we know how incredible that atmosphere would be for the next 3 days in downtown Nashville. A little bit different dynamic this go-around here on Darren Donick and Chase. Anna Isaacson, who is the NFL Senior Vice President of Social Responsibility, is indeed on the line with us. And Anna, we are in unfamiliar times. We're doing radio shows from our homes. A lot of people are working from home. We're practicing social distancing, and times are different, and it's not going to be any – and that holds true for what's going on in the National Football League. We've never seen what we're about to experience tomorrow night. So what have those meetings been like heading up to this point?
Well, thanks for having me on, and it's certainly different. I'm coming to you live from my parents' basement in Brooklyn, New York. That's the situation we all find ourselves in. Moved back in at home, in my childhood home for the time being. And that's what we're all doing, and that's where you can expect to see the commissioner tomorrow from his basement as well. And, you know, it's going to be a fully remote virtual draft, unlike anything we've seen or done before. But we're all in, and, you know, we're excited. It's been a intense and a crazy month of changing plans and moving things around and technology tests. But, you know, I think it's going to be exciting and it's going to provide people with hopefully a break and a little respite and obviously some football.
We've all learned a lot about Zoom, right, during these times. A lot of Zoom calls, whether it's meetings or we're certainly doing that on, you know, at our radio station and this show. Sometimes after shows we get on Zoom calls and talk about things, but the Titans did that this week with their general manager John Robinson and their head coach Mike Vrabel to the media. They've been doing that. That's how they've been holding press conferences. And we got a look the other day firsthand of what John Robinson's home office looks like and the setup for this draft. And they've talked about them doing some trial runs, you know, kind of some I guess it would be like in preparation for a concert, a band, you know, warming up and doing what they do before a concert. So how has that been with all the teams around the league?
Well, listen, there has been an incredible amount of work being done and preparations being taken. There are redundancies after redundancies. Our technology, our IT department has been leading this from the start. We are in constant communication with the 32 clubs. We've got you know, over 100 feeds that are going to be coming into the homes from everyone from commissioner, 57 draft prospects, head coaches, general managers, college football coaches, fans. And so just you can imagine that the amount of prep and that has gone on, honestly, over the last couple of weeks and in particular this week to make sure that, you know, all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed.
We're talking to Anna Isaacson. And we are getting prepared for the NFL draft, and you can imagine the league office, what they're doing there. Anna is the NFL Senior Vice President of Social Responsibility. So, Anna, let's talk about the draft-a-thon promotion that you guys will have going on while the draft is happening. I heard the commissioner this morning on ESPN talking about this very thing. It sounds very exciting.
Thank you. We're extremely excited about it. You know, the NFL family already has donated more than $76 million to COVID relief efforts. And the draft is on, which is now live online. You can go there now and see it at NFL.com/relief. But it's really going to be a three-day virtual fundraiser where you see, you know, players, celebrities, legends going on talking about the work they've been doing in the community fighting this pandemic. And, you know, for fans who can give and are able to contribute, we're asking you to do so. We've got six great nonprofit partners that are on board as the beneficiaries for this draft-a-thon, and we've got an entire live stream kicking off an hour before the draft tomorrow night that you can watch on, you know, just about every channel, whether it's Facebook or YouTube or Twitter or NFL.com, where we'll be literally a companion program to the television broadcast where you can watch the draft-a-thon essentially live and have a more casual conversation about football and a relief effort. So we are extremely excited. It's the first time we've ever done anything like this. You know, we've had telethons before at other really difficult times in our history, whether that's 9/11 or Hurricane Katrina. This is obviously different, and this won't be your traditional telethon by any means. Nobody's going to be sitting in a room answering phone calls, but it will be the backdrop of the draft. You'll obviously have football going on, but at the same time, we're going to be trying to do a lot of good for the people out there who are suffering.
You know, it's a concept that I guess was probably foreign to all of us, you know, 20, 25 years ago. But as social media has come along, you have the opportunity to do this. But it's almost, Anna, if I'm getting this right, it's almost as if you're watching the draft along with a Rich Eisen or a Deion Sanders or some of the names that are listed here that are going to be a part of this.
Absolutely, right? I mean, you know, if you're watching the television broadcast, or if you're watching ABC or NFL Network or ESPN, you're obviously going to be seeing the picks in football, but you will also see the draft-a-thon, right? You will see it come to life in player shout-outs, in vignettes from our six beneficiary partners. You'll see it, you know, the commissioner will reference it up top at the draft. There'll be a ticker on the bottom showing you where to go to donate. And then, to your point, there will be this whole other live stream that on your second screen you'll be able to watch with Rich Eisen and Deion Sanders and a whole bunch of other celebrities and football stars, nonprofit partners, et cetera, who will essentially be watching the draft like we will be, you know, talking about it casually and, again, hoping to raise some money.
And this is going to be fun because it's not – I look at the names that are going to be involved here, but it's not just current and former NFL great players. There's some celebrities involved. I see Kevin Hart is on the list, and so – it's going to have a variety of subjects that are going to be talked about, I'm sure.
You're going to definitely see a wide variety of people come on. You know, we are lucky to have a very broad and diverse fan base. And so people are interested in the draft. They want to talk about it. And, of course, they want to contribute. They want to help. You know, I think all of us are looking for things that we can do to give back at this time, right? We want to, you know, give of ourselves where we can. And so I think, you know, it hasn't actually been that hard to get amazing people to come on because I think everybody's in a position where they want to help.
You know, I was thinking about that, you know, what that must have been like for somebody like yourself and your team to coordinate this. It's a great spirit, right, that a lot of these guys and gals are showing that they want to contribute and they didn't hesitate to want to be a part of that.
No, exactly. I mean, I can't speak enough to, first of all, how much collaboration has taken to pull this off across the league in a very short time, right? We had tremendous plans laid in place for Vegas and like we did last year in Nashville. And so pivoting and really figuring out a way to get this done and do something that we've never done before from a charitable and community perspective, everybody's in. And just to see our partners, our sponsors, our licensees, the clubs, players, celebrities really join us and collaborate with us on us to really have a moment of unity for the country has just been tremendous to see.
Anna Isaacson is with us from the National Football League, and I know the event hasn't taken place yet, and you try and learn something every year. This is obviously going to be unique. So looking at this from a positive standpoint, how beneficial will it be for the league to stop and take a step back and maybe see what they have learned from having to go through this process that could possibly be used down the road?
I think you're right. I think there's going to be tremendous learnings. I think there's going to be learnings across the board, right? Not only from this draft, but everything that we've all gone through as a league, as an organization the last 6 weeks, and as a country. I think you'll see tons of changes, and I think we're only starting now
to really think about what are we going to look like when this is over, and how are we going to move forward from here in a really productive and you know, amazing way, but with a new and different sensibility about us. And so, you know, I think one of the positives to come from this is the fact that we are closer as an NFL team, as a family, as employees, really caring about each other, and really seeing this draft and how it comes together as sort of a win for all of us, and a way that we can really bring people together and try to unify and inspire in a really dark time. And, you know, that's what we're hoping for.
Do you all with the NFL get the sense that through all of this, with no sports, I mean, the NBA, the NHL, everybody paused their seasons, that you guys have kind of been, as you just said, that bright light through a dark time, not only with this event with the draft, but free agency? I mean, it's given us something to look forward to and talk about.
I think that we have been, you know, listen, we're, everyone is being affected in different ways, right? Every league is being impacted differently. We were in a position where we weren't in season. We were in the off season. And so that afforded us the opportunity to do a few different things. I think we're really careful, and we want to be sensitive, and we want to make sure that we're adhering to every guideline and standard that's set by the medical community and government officials. But we also want to make sure that we're still offering our fans an opportunity to take a breath if they want it and they need it, and, you know, get some levity and entertainment if that's what they're seeking. And I think we're fortunate to be in a position to be able to do that, and at the same time contribute back to the communities that need it the most.
And as we wrap this up, while it's exciting and it's going to be fascinating to watch, how are the nerves for everybody behind the scenes on how this is going to play out? Going to be.
Listen, I can only speak for myself, and I haven't been sleeping that well. But you know, I think I feel a lot of pressure, right? I think I want this to be great. I want to do something that's unifying and brings people together. And I think we want to raise money where we can. And I think we all feel a responsibility, no matter what our role is. I know for me personally, doing social responsibility, I feel that tremendously at times of tragedy and hardship and disaster in the country, you know, a real desire to want to make a difference and give back. And so this is a platform to do that. And it's a pretty big one. And I hope we maximize it.
Yeah. Well, just so you know, we're certainly thinking about you guys up in New York, and everything you've gone through. Continue to be safe, and it's going to be fun to watch, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, guys. Stay safe.
All right, that is Anna Isaacson, NFL Senior Vice President of Social Responsibility, NFL Draft, Round 1, tomorrow night. All the action right here on 102.5 The Game. We'll come back final hour. We kick things off with Chris Mason. On the other side, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.